This is the Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about medicine and money. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. In the United States, it's estimated that there are more than 10 million undocumented immigrants, about half of whom are uninsured. Hospitals are legally required to provide adequate care for anybody in an emergency situation, even if they are undocumented or uninsured. But when a patient is so sick that they can't be discharged, caring for them can become an enormous burden on hospitals. It creates a difficult situation with no good solutions, and some hospitals turn to a controversial practice to move these patients. Alan Hinnich has more.
In Louisville, Kentucky, 23-year-old Virginia has been waiting at the hospital for her dad to wake up.
His heart, lungs, and everything's good. It's just he's in a coma.
Her dad is 49. He hit his head during a seizure in mid-June.
He gives me signs that he's listening. I grab his arm. I touch his feet. His feet move. Sometimes his toes wiggle. He yawns.
But as the days turn into weeks, Virginia says staff at the hospital haven't had the same patients.
Since the second day my father was here, I just feel like they've been trying to get us out the way.
Me too. Swear to God.
Me too. Swear to God, says another woman in the waiting room. For most patients in the situation, hospitals would transfer them into a long-term care facility to free up the ICU bed for someone new. But Virginia's father isn't a typical patient. The doctors can't transfer him anywhere new because he's both undocumented and uninsured. Virginia says she was given an impossible decision. Let the doctors take her dad off life support or put him on a plane back to his birth country, Guatemala.
The hospital is saying that due to not having health insurance, they're going to send them off and that they do not need my consent. And the piece of package to send away. And I tried telling them that I do not feel comfortable sending my father back to his home country where he hasn't been in over 30 years. The healthcare system is not that great. And I am his family. I am his support system. I am the best chance of having my dad live. To me, it's inhumane. Like, just no compassion that I've been feeling.
In a health system that has no safety net for uninsured, undocumented patients, the cost of intensive care can quickly pile up for hospitals. Emergency rooms are mandated to treat patients regardless of their ability to pay or their immigration status. But nursing homes, rehab centers, long-term care facilities, all of them can say no. In some cases, undocumented patients can apply for emergency medical assistance, but that process varies by state and can be complicated to navigate. So, if these patients need long-term care, the options are really limited. And in some cases, hospitals might try to fly patients back to their countries of origin. For some, this might be a preferable option with more family support. But for others, it can have a devastating or even fatal result. I'm in a warehouse office in the Kensington neighborhood of Philadelphia, talking to Adriana Torres Garcia, deputy director of the Free Migration Project.
I bring people together so that we can together take up a fight.
Since 2016, they've become a sort of first responder for people like Virginia, who are desperate for legal help. Part of their mission is to end what they call medical deportation.
We call it medical deportation because once a person leaves or is transported out, it's impossible to come back.
Adriana isn't really sure how common this practice is.
We assume it happens everywhere, but we don't have data because nobody tracks this. What we do know is that we've received calls from Wisconsin, from Indiana, from Washington, D.C.
One of those people who called for help is Claudia. She's sitting next to Adriana in the office, a calm, soft-spoken woman who became an advocate for this cause after first-hand experience in her family.
A veces todavía no lo puedo creer porque
Claudia speaks Spanish more comfortably than English, so you'll be hearing her through a translator.
Mi nombre es Claudia.
My name is Claudia. I live in Philadelphia, Mesa AV. I came here 15 years ago from Guatemala.
De Guatemala.
Ah, okay.
Sí.
The initials AV are what we'll call Claudia's uncle for privacy reasons. I asked her to tell me a bit of a story.
¿Me podrías contar un poco de la historia de tu tío?
Antes de su accidente trabajaba en una carpintería.
Before his accident, he worked in a carpentry shop making furniture. In 2020, he had an accident on Roosevelt Boulevard where he was hit by a motorcycle. This led him to suffer many injuries to his body, a lot of brain damage. He was in a coma.
Not long after being admitted to the Jefferson Torresdale Hospital, it became clear that staying indefinitely was not an option for her uncle. She says administrators reached out to Med Escort, a transportation company, to fly him to Guatemala, a country he hadn't been to in 20 years. Because Claudia was AV's closest family member in Philadelphia, a social worker from the hospital notified her that they were planning on removing him.
They told me that they were already preparing everything, that in a week they were going to take my uncle to Guatemala. And I told him, no way, how are you going to move him in the condition that he's in? I mean, it was impossible. If you all looked at my uncle, I mean, he was practically more dead than alive. And he tells me, look, we're just letting you know. You just have to come to say goodbye to him. They wanted me to sign so they could take him out.
There seemed to be no other options, and Claudia felt conflicted making this decision for her uncle, who wasn't even conscious.
Consent is not always an easy thing to obtain.
That's Mark Weller, a lawyer who sorts out immigration logistics for Med Escort, the company that was hired by the hospital to fly Claudia's uncle back to Guatemala. On occasion, Mark gets called on to act as a spokesperson for Med Escort, to speak to reporters.
Rarely and reluctantly, yes.
The company's website says they provide hospitals with a solution for uncompensated medical care of undocumented patients.
I disagree with the term medical deportation. I think it's a compassionate, safe patient discharge. They're just moving that patient to a lower cost setting with patient or family consent. Some people would say that hospitals should care for a patient, you know, regardless of their insurance or immigration status or their ability to pay. But the hospitals, on the other hand, are going to say they have a duty to be wise stewards of scarce resources. If you have somebody here illegally that doesn't have insurance coverage and you're asking the hospital to provide that regardless of one's ability to pay or insurance status, that from the hospital's perspective is a problem.
Mark says companies like Med Escort offer a solution to hospital administrators for a cost-effective compromise, where hospitals save money and the patient continues to get care, just not in the United States.
They have an obligation to consider a lower-cost setting, and that could be back in their home country. They don't have to have the exact same level of care they would have in a U.S. hospital, but they need to have an adequate care facility back in that home country or in a home setting.
Mark also says there could be benefits from being supported directly by family in a more familiar setting. But Claudia says that for her uncle, this wouldn't have been the case. He had left Guatemala decades ago, and she wasn't sure if his wife would be able to care for him in the state that he was in. In the end, Claudia got help from advocacy organizations to get emergency medical assistance, and was able to move her uncle to a long-term care facility in Philadelphia. Over time, his condition improved. In December of 2023, Philadelphia became the first city to explicitly ban medical deportation, which is defined as the forcible act of medical repatriation without consent, consideration of health insurance eligibility, or consideration of health risks to the patient. The Free Migration Project advocated for this new law alongside Claudia, who was there to celebrate on that day.
La verdad, yo muy contenta. Hasta lloré de felicidad.
The truth is, I was very happy. I even cried with happiness. Hopefully, other states can try to accomplish this because it's necessary. It's very necessary. I believe that one should not remain silent when you see an unjust situation. You should speak up.
But just because medical deportation is banned in Philadelphia doesn't mean there are new resources or a new safety net for undocumented patients. After 3 years living in the long-term care facility, Claudia's uncle couldn't get emergency medical assistance any longer. And without that support, it became far too expensive to pay out of pocket. So, they bought him a flight home to Guatemala, and he's been there since in the care of his wife and children. Claudia says she misses him a lot. She sent me a photo of him in shorts and a t-shirt, walking in a field with his white spotted dog. He holds his cane with a firm grip, smiling at Claudia from 2,000 miles away.
It was all worth it because he had 3 years of care in a clinic and he survived. Knowing that I couldn't do more for him, I felt sad and disappointed. But I comfort myself speaking with him every day, in the mornings, in the afternoons. I'll always be there for him, so that gives me calm and tranquility.
As for Virginia, she sent me an update on her father's situation.
My dad's doing fine. I feel more comfortable that he's more stable now and that when I come back the next day, he'll be here at the hospital and not somewhere else on a plane. And now I just feel like I got a team backing me up now, getting a medical deferred action filed for my father. And it could possibly give him like medical coverage with low to no cost. I guess I feel a little bit better, more at ease, but still I'm still on my toes.
That story was reported by Alan Hinnich with additional reporting by Julian Abraham. It was part of a series The Pulse has produced on Latino health issues. You can find more of those stories on our website at whyy.org/thepulse.